Ace Podcast.
It's two middle-aged dudes and a microphone.
Hey, everybody, this is Craig.
Yeah, this is Aaron.
Hey, guess what? You're listening to the Two Middle-Aged Dudes in a Microphone Christmas Special.
Woohoo!
Aaron is so excited.
I got two words for you, Christmas Special, Craig. Bah and humbug.
Hey, Bobby Jingle Bells, how about you play that music?
Okay, actually, I'm in a pretty good mood, by the way.
You better be.
Because it's almost over.
Listen to the music. Listen to the music.
I know, I hear it.
So nice.
Hey, I've got headphones.
Hey, you want me to cheat and say everything that I already know you're going to say?
Go ahead.
You got one weird story before we get to the real Christmas stories?
That's right.
Yeah, because it's got everything that encompasses everything in a story that we would normally tell on this show.
This one story does, yes.
One story.
But
it's like I'm
reading your mind. The stories after it, they're uplifting Christmas stories.
Yes, they make you feel goosey.
Because of Black Friday, we did crazy Black Friday
stories.
Stop
being a racist, okay? Christmas is for everyone.
Christmas is supposed to be a time. Christmas is a time to say I love you. And a time.
That's what John Lennon said.
Yeah. No, that's what Billy Squire said.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Billy Squire. John Lennon say?
John Lennon said, so this is Christmas.
Oh, he said, so this is Christmas, yeah. And Merry Christmas is it? Yeah. And then him and Billy Squire.
And Billy Squire said,
started the Bee Gees.
Yeah. No. Don't bring them back.
No. No, because they keep showing up.
Yes.
We had three of them. We had the Robin.
They could be the Ghost of Christmas.
We had the Robin Ghost of Christmas Past. We had the Maurice. Ghost of Christmas Present, and we had the Andy, the gross of Christmas peasants.
Gross.
The gross of peasants.
Christmas.
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
Okay, we're going to get our first story here. Ready?
Yeah, this is not the first story of the Christmas episode.
This is the first story. I'm having a hard time with English today.
You've been to the dentist?
First story in the Christmas episode, but it's not a Christmas story.
I'm not saying that. No, because
I said it. You don't have to.
Christmas episode doesn't start till after the story. It'll start in 3 minutes.
But I already said welcome to the Christmas episode.
Well, they'll just have to wait.
Ready?
Ready.
Australian woman finds snake curled up in her Christmas tree.
Oh, a Santa snake.
Yeah, a wee little hat.
A little
mug of eggnog. He's like, hi, guys.
Hot cocoa.
A woman has discovered a 1-meter-long venomous snake wrapped around her Christmas tree in Australia.
That's just a little over 3 feet, Craig.
3.2.
That's a pretty big snake.
Any snake's a pretty...
Well, this one's venomous, snake. Too.
She called for help to remove the... You know what it was?
Wow.
A tiger snake.
Well, it could have been a liger snake.
That's pretty much my favorite snake ever.
It's venomous, too, by the way.
And she's in Melbourne. She wanted to get rid of that thing. And so, you know who came up?
Nope.
Snake catcher Barry Goldsmith.
Oh, old man Goldsmith's boy.
Yep. He came right out.
He said, Merry Christmas there. Where's your snake?
He said, this reptile entered through the door opening before curling up among the decorations.
Barry said, you got a snake in your tree there.
Hey, lady, you got a snake in your tree.
Your name's not Eve, is it?
You got a Vegemite. Oh, I see. Nice tie-in to the Christian holiday.
Yes, Christmas time. Christmas is a time to say I love you.
Except, I think that would be Old Testament, which you just threw out there, which would be
all part of the story.
All right, so anyway, all you need to know about the story, right?
Yeah.
Snake in a Santa hat. Came in the door.
Venomous.
Venomous snake. Tiger snake.
Tiger snake.
Pretty much favorite snake ever. And he was under the tree.
He was wrapped around
Wrapped around the tree with his wee little cup of eggnog. Yes. We don't know how he was holding it, but he had it floating there in front of him.
She said, what are you doing here? He said, I'm just waiting on Santa. That was my Australian snake. Hey, you know what time it is? It's time for the official first ever Two Middle-Aged Dudes in a Microphone Christmas episode.
I already said that a while ago.
Yeah, the music's been rolling for a few minutes too, but still, that first story didn't count.
It's kind of interesting. The guy that doesn't like Christmas is so desperate to announce it.
I told you I'm in a good mood. It's almost over. We're this close, Craig. This close to being back to normal.
You, my friend, will never be normal.
I'm going to take.
Look at how tall you are. That's not normal.
I'm going to take the first one. This is the first of our true Christmas miracles. You ready for this?
Okay.
And these come from us from a website that I really like a lot called Cracked.com. So this,
because you can relate to it.
Yes, I can. And I used to read Cracked magazine. I thought it was funnier than Mad.
Is it even the same thing?
Yeah, it's the same company.
You sure?
Yeah, absolutely.
You made that up?
No, 100% positive.
How about you read the story?
Hey,
guess what? Santa's here too late. You took too long. Sorry, kids. Can't hear. Sorry, kids. You're gonna go to bed tonight, and you're not gonna hear two middle-aged dudes in a microphone. You know why? Because old Aaron here,
Uncle Aaron
took all night talking about stupid crap.
Let's start back over with the...
That was gold.
You think so?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Craig.
Even the parts you were in.
Okay.
I don't care. Cut it apart however you want. All snippity, right, snap it. I don't care. Snippity.
Okay, Craig.
What?
Listen, I'm going to do it a little different. Christmas headline is...
That was so different. I couldn't even tell it was this. It was like it was a whole different thing.
Couple discovers an abandoned newborn baby in the middle of the desert.
Okay, this brings up a couple of questions.
Yeah.
Why was there a couple in the middle of the desert to begin with?
Well, we're about to read the story, and it's probably going to explain all that.
What if it was Kal-El? What if he just crashed there from Krypton?
In 1931, Ed...
Perfect time!
Ed and Julia Stewart were driving home on Christmas Eve when they suddenly got a flat in the middle of the Arizona desert. You do that well. While her husband changed the tire, Miss Stewart wandered off for a bit.
This is the entire opening scene of Superman the movie.
And because of what
without
happened,
the desert.
And because of what happened next, because what happened next was so amazing, we're not even going to imply that she was probably just looking for a place to relieve herself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Miss Stewart came across an old hat box with an abandoned but totally healthy newborn girl inside.
In the middle of a desert.
In the middle of a desert. Now, all this took place a few miles outside of Superior, Arizona.
Oh, they're better than everybody, I guess.
A tiny town, which in 1931 was probably only populated by the Stewarts and an old dachshund with polio.
I think that's dachshund.
Oh, my bad.
Or as they call them in Superior, because they're so much better than everyone else, they're dachshunds.
Dachshunds. Yeah, that's what I get for just reading. I'm like
old dachshund with polio? The poor dachshund had polio?
I'm like Ron Burgundy. I just read however it's written.
I guess.
I'm Ron Burgundy?
You gotta go now?
Even today, there is literally nothing surrounding the town but a depressing wasteland. So just think of what kind of astronomical odds it took for the couple to get a flat tire in the close proximity of the discarded baby, allowing them to save her life on Christmas Eve.
This is literally Superman.
What's even more incredible is that the Stewarts then decided to hand the little Christmas miracle over to the authorities so she could be legally adopted by properly vetted people.
Okay, so it's a she, Supergirl.
17 couples applied to adopt the hatbox
17,
baby.
The entire town.
But due to the bad weather, only two of them managed to show up to the hearing. The judge ultimately granted custody to one couple who named the child Sharon.
Sharon! And
raised her incredibly well. Sharon Elliott.
Well, they're not going to say they raised her incredibly bad.
Sharon Elliott never met her biological parents, but with the support of her adopted parents.
Like she couldn't stand up on her own?
She did eventually work in the aerospace industry, which, considering that she was a woman raised in 1930s Arizona, was a miracle in its own right. How do you like that? That's miracle. That's Christmas miracle number one, Craig. You ready for Christmas miracle number
two?
What
does the aerospace industry have to do with her finding her parents?
It's just that in the 1930s, there weren't very many women that made it to the aerospace industry. It was pretty much dominated by...
What does that have to do with this story?
It's another miracle.
But what does that have to do with them finding her in a box?
Because she was an alien. She went.
That's
back
what I've
to
said
play.
From the beginning.
Yeah.
I said she was an alien. I said it was Superman, and then it was a
no,
girl.
No,
so Supergirl.
No, she wasn't from Krypton.
How do you know?
Because it said in the story that I didn't print... Yeah.
Hey.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thanks
and
your
Krypton baby.
Thanks for the heartwarming story. Woman dies during childbirth.
Wait a minute. Is that your miracle? That's not a very good one.
Apparently not. Oh, wait. Then she just comes back to life.
Yeah.
Ready?
Miracle number two.
Let me take this down.
Christmas miracle. Dose.
On December. That didn't say that at all. It says it's Christmas Eve.
Yeah, it does. These are Christmas Eve miracles. You got to put that in there.
Okay. It's a Christmas Eve miracle.
Nice.
I put it in there.
Nice.
On Christmas Eve, 2009.
Ooh, recent.
Yes. Well, not really. 7 years ago.
Tracy Herman Munster.
Tracy Hermanstorfer.
Oh.
Was at a Colorado Springs hospital about to give birth to her first child. But suddenly, disaster struck as Mrs. Hermanstorfer unexpectedly went into cardiac arrest. Probably because she realized that she'll now have to get her kid a birthday and Christmas present at the same time. You know, author of this article, is it really a time to joke about such things? The woman just died.
This is a miracle story. She can have a lighthearted laughter, a chuckle.
Because she read ahead. She knew the ending.
A chuckle?
A chuckle or two.
Yeah.
After the mother's heartbeat came to a standstill, the doctors tried to save her son by performing an emergency cesarean section on the clinically dead woman. They got the baby out, but the newborn was very weak. Of course, it was a little baby.
You see.
With rapidly diminishing pulse. The staff then handed the dying baby over to Mr. Herman Stover.
So Mr. Herman Munster said, thank you.
And that's when things turned around.
For the better?
For the better.
Nice.
Mrs. Herman Stover's heart miraculously started beating on its own.
I told you it was a Christmas miracle.
Mm-hmm. Soon after that, her son's pulse stabilized and he began breathing normally. They both eventually made a full recovery, with the mom not showing any side effects from being technically dead for 4 minutes.
That's a long time to be technically dead. Technically speaking.
Was she mostly dead, or was she...
Technically. Yes, technically I am.
And no, stuff like this doesn't just happen in childbirth.
That's
to
funny
this
you
day,
say that.
The docs at the hospital have absolutely zero clue as to what caused a healthy woman with no history of heart problems to suffer cardiac arrest, or how she just got over it like that. The parents later decided to name their son Colton, reckoning, I love that word,
yeah.
Reckoning that if he survives this mess, he can survive high school with a name like that. Ha, ha, ha. And I really don't think that's true. I think doctors have seen that kind of stuff before. I don't kind of thinking that that's
so not. You're saying that we just reported something not true? That's a Christmas miracle.
No, it was a Christmas miracle. I just think it's funny that they're trying to, like, doctors have never, ever seen somebody miraculously get better. They see it. They see that happen.
Are you ready for a Christmas miracle number three? Trace? Christmas headline is...
I'm calling Miguel.
Man falls 47 stories. Wakes up on Christmas Day. Al Sides and Edgar Marino were working as window washers in New York City's Swallow Tower in 2007 when their scaffolding suddenly collapsed and the brothers plunged 47 floors down into an alley below.
That job right there?
Yeah.
Instant? Nope.
No, not for me either. You gotta have guts.
Yes. Edgar wasn't so lucky.
No, poor Edgar. Edgar was killed instantly. But Alcides? Not only survived...
Alcides? I have a feeling that we're not going to figure out...
Alcides?
I don't know. I have no idea. A.
A.
We'll call him A.
Not only survived the fall, but was already sitting when the paramedics arrived.
Because he probably landed on his brother.
After the window cleaner was rushed to the hospital, doctors had to perform surgery on Alcides, well, pretty much everything. After the next 18 days, Alcides slipped into a coma and underwent 9 complex surgeries, during which he had gallons of blood and plasma pumped into him.
Turning him into a machine.
And you just know that in all that time, at least one person thought to themselves, aren't we just wasting our time here? We don't mean to be insensitive, but given the height of the fall, the man was on borrowed time, as it were. It was only a matter of time before he woke up perfectly coherent from the coma on Christmas Day. What?
It's a creepy miracle.
I told you. No one is really sure how Alcides survived the accident, including his doctors. Even Micho Kuku. Michachu Kaku.
I just made that up.
Michio Kaku, the internet's favorite non-Tyson, non-Nye super scientific guy, attributes it to mostly luck, which is the closest a physicist will ever come to calling something a miracle.
Yeah.
Still, crashing down 500 feet into concrete probably left Alcides crippled for life. Right, Craig? Don't you think?
I would think he's probably just messed up.
Well, for your information, Ebenezer Grinch, not only did Alcides learn to walk again, but just this past year, in 2015, he completed a 3-mile walk for charity in just under an hour.
No, but just this past week, he went to a 50-story building and jumped off, found out that it really didn't happen. Lightning doesn't strike twice.
Christmas miracle number three.
What was that?
I think it was my chair.
Something went,
it was my chair.
It's a Christmas troll.
Okay, Christmas miracle number four. Craig.
Number four.
This is yours.
I get to keep the Christmas miracle?
Yes. It's my gift to you. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Woman's lost dog is found 1,300 miles away on Good Christmas grief. Night.
Man, she had to go
now, this has way. Happened, I don't know about the day it landed on, but this dogs, they've come back from far distances.
Yeah, but not on Christmas Day.
The dog was thoughtful, and it also happened to be the dog's most favorite day of the year.
Yeah, he got a bone.
Mm-hmm. In April 2006 in Aurora, Colorado, woman named, so it says, not a woman.
Whoa, man.
Named Vonda Lundstrom suffered the most heartbreaking situation not involving a witcher. Who wrote this stuff?
I told you it's crack.com.
Oh, my, you're right. Okay. I'm going to read that again because everybody's going to hear that.
It's very funny.
No, we're going to keep that. We're going to read this. She suffered the most heartbreaking situation not involving a wood chipper that any dog lover could endure. Her pet rat terrier, Daisy, ran away from home and didn't come back for months.
Months. You know, if my dog didn't come back for months, I'd say, well, time to get a new dog.
Yeah. During that, you would sell him out like that. During that time, Lundstrom searched high and low for the lost pup, found no trace of her. Finally, she was forced to accept that Daisy was probably never coming back.
I think so. I think that's a good assumption.
But.
Yeah.
There's a but here.
Always is.
7 months later, Vonda Lundstrom got a call from a woman. From the dog.
Bark, bark, bark. Got a call from Daisy.
Bark, 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 bark. What? You're where? Bark, bark, bark. At the truck stop.
You fell down a well.
She got a call from a woman in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Just down the road a bit.
Yep. Who claimed she found a stray dog wandering the town, down the street rather. But 7 months later, Vonda Lundstrom got a call from a woman in Knoxville, Tennessee, who claimed that she found a stray dog wandering down the street in front of her house.
That's just down the street here.
Not far. Which just happened to be a female rat terrier. She got Lundstrom's contact info after calling the number on the dog's rabies tag and getting the dog's vet in Colorado, which confirmed that she did indeed find Daisy Lundstrom.
Wow.
And, of course, she found the dog on Christmas.
Of course.
Heck, she probably found the dog under a double rainbow or something.
It's a double rainbow.
Here's why this story points to Daisy actually being a miracle.
A Christmas miracle.
Yes. Other than her being found on Christmas, there's the whole business of Knoxville being located 1,300 miles away from Aurora.
Colorado.
That's more than one-third of the length of the continental United States across numerous states full of wild animals, deranged hill folk, really?
Oh, wow.
And swarms of drugged-out meth heads, and that's just in Kentucky. Okay, we didn't write that. No one knows how Daisy managed to survive such a journey, but we're betting all those hardships paled in comparison to returning home, only to discover that Vonda Lundstrom has replaced Daisy with a new terrier named Elsie. That wasn't a joke.
Daisy and Elsie.
And so Daisy got home and she was like, what?
You can't stay here. We've already replaced you.
Sorry. I mean, this is awkward and all. I mean, I really do feel
we're going to have to send you back to Knoxville.
I really, really feel bad about this, but you see, I got Elsie now.
Boy, this is awkward.
This is just, this is crazy.
What a Christmas miracle, though. This dog left Aurora, Colorado.
Shows up at Christmas.
7 months later, on Christmas Day, shows up in Knoxville, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. That's a long journey.
And had gift cards.
You know what? I bet you somebody stole Daisy, took it home somewhere near Knoxville, and Daisy escaped.
Not stole might be a strong word. They might have found her and then...
Just took her home. There's no way that dog traveled.
Or as you would say, tooken her.
Tooken, yes. Tooken. All right, we got one more Christmas miracle.
It's funny,
Craig.
I don't have it.
You should have it. You probably just threw it away somewhere.
I don't have it. Just tell the story. I'll act like I know.
Okay. So, woman survives. Oh, wait. Christmas miracle headline is, woman survives after being buried in snow for 3 days. It was the week before Christmas.
When we were kids, we'd do that and never, no big deal.
In 2008, and Canada was undergoing a massive apocalyptic snowstorm. The weather conditions unfortunately created a complex dilemma for Donna Molnar, a 55-year-old housewife from Ontario, Canada, who really wanted to bake cookies that day. At least we assume it was cookies, which are the only reason a sane person would ever venture outside during a snowpocalypse to buy baking supplies. That was the last her family saw of her for the next 3 days. After police were notified that Miss Molnar did not return home from her shopping trip, her abandoned car was found in a rural parking lot. Suddenly, the search for the missing woman was on. Even if the raging snowstorm made it virtually certain that Miss Molnar was dead and buried under a heap of snow. But that's not a Christmas miracle. That'd be a sad Christmas.
Oh, you're still talking?
Miraculously, though, it turned out that everyone had it only half right because a dog named Ace... As in Ace Podcast Network.
What?
A dog named Ace did eventually find the missing woman buried under nearly 3 feet of snow in a field. Seems she had lost her way while returning from the store. The twist here is that she was still totally alive and conscious, despite her body temperature having fallen to 86 degrees Fahrenheit. You know, that's pretty cold.
I mean, 86, from 96.3 to...
Yeah.
98.6.
Right. You dropped your body temperature.
96.3 is an oldie station, I think.
Miss Molnar was then immediately taken to the hospital and treated for hypothermia and frostbite, eventually pulling through on Christmas Eve, that magic time when death waves his hand and goes, "Oh, get out of here, you knucklehead. I'll get to you later." Donna Molnar later explained that she collapsed while trying to get help after a snowplow blocked her car. But as luck would have it, the falling snow created a protective, heat-retaining cocoon around the woman, who concluded this potentially tragic episode in the most Canadian way possible by apologizing to everyone for almost freezing to death. That concludes, Craig, our last Christmas miracle story for 2016. What do you think about it? I thought that was a pretty good story. I like Canada stories.
I like our stories. I just wish there was more Christmas music.
The Christmas music has been playing for the last 20 minutes.
I said more.
What, do you want me to like play four or five songs at one time?
I don't know. You can play a really jaunty little tune at the end.
Well, regardless, Craig, I would like to wish you, your family, our listeners, and all of Ace Podcast, Merry Christmas.
That, you said that like you meant it.
I did mean it.
And that really, you've got to twitch when you do it, too.
No,
it's really kind of
I meant it.
You're kind of like tensed up when you said it.
And
too.
I was going to give you a Dairy Queen gift card, but I figured that's what you get me. So we just you just keep yours and I'll keep mine.
That sounds good. All right, then. Well, then it sounds like we won't talk to anybody until next year.
Well, we do have our New Year's episode coming out.
That's New Year's.
Correct.
That's not this year.
Okay. Well, you're right then. This will be the last. No, no.
Calendars are hard.
Nope. We've got one more episode coming up this year. We sure do. Coming out Monday.
Fine. We'll talk to you again.
Just tomorrow.
Fine.
Tomorrow. Or 2 days from now.
Okay. You
this
know
is
what?
Coming out on Christmas Eve. That's a Saturday.
Let's go hit the boiled custard. Hey, nobody.
No.
Nobody. I don't like eggnog. Nobody knows. Nobody.
Oh,
but,
I do.
Nobody but Tennessee knows what boiled custard is.
I do like eggnog. But you know what I'd rather have? Peppermint Blizzard. Hey, everybody. This is Aaron. Craig's not here. I'm at my house doing holiday things. Craig's at his house doing holiday things. But we're about to pick the winner of the t-shirt from the review contest we had. We recorded this Christmas episode last week and realized that if we picked a winner then, some folks might be left out since it takes a few days for iTunes to post the reviews. So here it is, Christmas Eve. We're about to post this podcast, so I'm picking a winner. And to pick a winner, I am going to ask Siri to pick the winner. We've got 33 reviews on our podcast. So here we go. Siri, please pick a number between 1 and 33.
The answer is 22.
Okay, number 22. So I'm going to count down starting at the top one. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. Bran Flake. Bran Flake has won a t-shirt from two middle-aged dudes and a microphone. So, Bran Flake, I'm going to try to figure out who you are. But if not, just send us an email with your t-shirt size and your address, and we'll get it in the mail. Merry Christmas, everybody.
A good night.
Daddy, are you Santa Claus?
No, son. Santa Claus will be here a little bit later. Now get some sleep.
Merry Christmas, Daddy.
Merry Christmas, Daddy.
Merry Christmas.
Children in the
Presents for the good boys and girls.